to some regard, I'm trying to play catch up. As you all know, I was off last week, and I did try to kind of get away from news for a second there. It's kind of hard, though. It is a little hard. I did notice that the Connecticut House of Representatives had a unanimous passage of the earmark reform legislation, which, I'm sorry, it doesn't really matter what form of government. It's very hard to find unanimous anything in today's world. But this seems like a no-brainer. It now sits in front of the Senate, where I would imagine it's also going to pass. Let's check in with State Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding for the very latest on this and what's happening up in Hartford. I can't believe it, Senator Harding. We're down to, what, a few weeks left? Not even? How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. Thank you. It's always good to be on. Yeah, there's only a few weeks left in session, and it's nice to see some bipartisan legislation. You know, I would argue that, you know, we can go a lot further in terms of oversight over these monies going out in a, with taxpayer dollars, with, you know, currently no oversight, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's a good first step, in my opinion. And, you know, first step is important in making sure that the taxpayer money is protected.
So it was interesting because I had Governor Lamont on my show earlier this week, and I said to him, I know you want more oversight for earmarking. It was what he line itemed in that 121-page emergency certified bill. I'm not going to go there because we've already gone there before and how I feel about that. But I said, you know, you're, you know, the Democratic lawmakers, when you line itemed and vetoed those, you know, especially some of the leaders, I would say, Senator Duff, for example, I said they really knocked you for that, Governor Lamont. And he's like, yeah, well, times are different. I don't know why times are different now, but I'm wondering, though, if you feel like the Senate will also unanimously pass this.
Yeah, I would assume so. I would assume so. I mean, the argument, you know, that I have, though, is that this doesn't go far enough. And I think the reason why it will be unanimous is it doesn't go far enough. You know, you'd certainly get Republican support unanimously if it went as far as we'd like to see it go with mandating that these organizations receiving the money appear before the Appropriations Committee. I mean, that's not in any of this. Essentially, we just provide some, you know, more auditing and a little more oversight over who's getting the money. But it doesn't go as far as I'd like to see it go, and many of my Republican colleagues would like to see it go. Nevertheless, we'll support it because it's better than what we currently
It's better
have.
Than nothing. Right. And then it's always the correct. Headlines you got to deal with. Oh, okay. Republicans don't actually want oversight after all. No, I get it. You take something versus nothing.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you take something versus nothing. I mean, some level of oversight over the taxpayer money is better than none. And that's currently, frankly, what we have with this system. I do think it will be unanimous, but I don't think that we should step away from this and think that the problem is resolved. I think we still have a lot of loopholes surrounding this system. There are still some bad actors that can get away with doing bad things with taxpayer money, or at least completely waste it, if not, you know, illegally use it, even despite some of these protections being put in place.
So it's interesting, Senator Harding, obviously he has denied still wrongdoing, and it's very hard to even get. At first, Governor Lamont, it seemed like, came out strong against what had happened, but has since kind of, I don't want to say backtracked, but he certainly won't really address, you know, what's gone on with State Senator McCrory with all of this, because that is still being investigated, by the way. But does this current bill, would that have blocked, I'm going to say allegedly, because I guess I have to, would that have blocked allegedly what had gone on with Senator McCrory and the nonprofit he was involved with in Hartford?
Not necessarily, no. And that's part of the problem. I think it would have blocked it in terms of some more auditing and more likelihood we would have obtained information that this wasn't being used properly. But it wouldn't have necessarily blocked it from going forward. Again, I think the only way you're going to truly block it is to mandate that every single entity that receives money from the state budget through your taxpayer dollars appear before the Appropriations Committee and specifically state what they're going to use the money for.
Why wouldn't that be in the bill? That doesn't make any sense to me. So if I'm understanding this correctly, I'm a nonprofit, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm a nonprofit, I don't know. And I want the state to give me X amount of dollars, like Shark Tank. And I want you to give me this money. What is not in this bill right now is that I have to explain what that money goes for. So what does the bill do? I don't understand what the bill's purpose is, because I thought that was the whole thing is, like, you know, that's fine. More audits, I guess. But even all the, I mean, I talk to the Connecticut auditors all the time and they're like, we're doing our job. We're identifying and we recommend what you can do to fix it. That doesn't mean it's going to get fixed, though.
I don't know. Why wouldn't you mandate that you have to explain what the money is going to, especially if it's my tax dollars?
Correct. And then that's part of the issue. I mean, the bill refines the process a little more in terms of at least putting in writing generally what the request is for. But in terms of that individual or that entity or an individual from that entity appearing before the Appropriations Committee and that requirement being in place, that's not there. And going in front, and here's the most important part, going in front of the public and stating what you're going to use that money for.
Yes.
Because ultimately what that usually occurs is that legislators will then start to ask more questions and start to say, well, ask why you're going to use it for that purpose or more specifics to that. Putting something in writing and just delivering it to fulfill your quote-unquote requirement, I would argue is just not enough. I would appear that you have to come in public, speak publicly about what you're going to be using the money for, and then also, most importantly, face questions from legislators who represent their constituents and asking more specific details about what their taxpayer money is going to be used on. Ultimately, that is not in this bill. The argument, I think, that many that are opposed to this type of requirement or regulation being input on the Democratic side is that, well, it's cumbersome. But, if you're going to use taxpayer dollars and we're going to go through the cumbersome process of taking a lot of money out of your pocket and putting it into a government, the least you can do is show up and answer questions.
Let me ask you this, and I'm being sarcastic, just to preface. Do you have to explain to a bank why you need a loan?
Exactly.
Of course you do, right?
Exactly.
Because guess what? Because guess what? No lender is going to just be like, yeah, no, that's worth the risk. Of course you have to explain why you need the loan. Why in the world shouldn't taxpayers know why you're picking this nonprofit to give state dollars to? Are you kidding me?
And that's exactly right. And that's exactly right. And that's exactly what's wrong with our state government is that, when you have this kind of arrogance with this huge one-party rule, they feel they don't have to answer to anybody. And unfortunately, until we start restoring some of that balance, you're not going to see any level of understanding of taxpayer dollars or respect like we should be saying.
Well, either that, but I think the bigger thing too here, Senator Harding, not to push back, but I think it's that, you got checkmark legislation. Oh, we want oversight with earmarking. That sounds really great,
right?
I mean, so I'm an average person, and I consider myself a pretty educated person. I'm in the news. I get it. But honestly, to me, if you don't have a mandate to explain why you, the nonprofit, should get this money from the state, what is the point of this bill? So now I'm over it, honestly. I got to be honest. I was really excited to hear you tell me that this was something that you're like, yeah, this is good. But I knew your energy seemed off today, Senator Harding, and now I know why. Now I know. Now
yeah,
I know why.
It's this is not exactly the landmark legislation that some people want to think it's
right. It's a good headliner
still
though.
A lot more. Yeah, it's a great headliner, but
great
in
headliner.
Election year. But there's still tons of work to be done in terms of actually providing true actual oversight over your hard-earned taxpayer dollars.
100%. You know what? I'm no therapist, but you sounded deflated, and now I know why. Son of a gun. We've got State Senator Steve Harding here talking about these last few weeks of the legislative session. And we were talking about oversight before, but I want to switch gears really quickly. And by the way, if you want to read that full bill on the earmarking legislation, House Bill 5039, I'm going to link it to our website with Senator Harding's podcast, voiceofct.com. Senator Harding, when I had Governor Lamont on recently, I was asking him about the Aquarion deal. Because, interestingly enough, I said it's very hard to find bipartisan support. And in this situation, it's very hard to usually hear bipartisan opposition. And he said, yeah, I agree. And I was like, so what's going on? Do we block this from happening? I mean, even your attorney general is not happy about it. And he said, I feel very confident that there is enough legal, basically, there are legal matters that the attorney general can tackle and block this from going forward.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I find it ironic the governor now all of a sudden is against the deal because he
didn't even say he was against the deal, though. He didn't say he was. I asked him that. I said, it sounds like you're against it. And he literally dodged it. He didn't say he was against it. And in fact, I name dropped you and Senator Fazio because he's like, oh, Mr. Steinberg is working on legislation. I was like, actually, it's Senator Fazio and Senator Harding. But continue. I mean, he didn't say he was actually against
that.
It. Well, listen. Give credit where credit's due. But I'm just saying, no, he didn't actually say he's against it. He just said he's confident that the attorney general will find legal issues with it. So he didn't come out and say he's against it.
And that's part of my problem, because this takes leadership here. And the governor is clearly not leading on this. This is something that's going to cost the water ratepayers on the western side of the state hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars a year in water rate increases if this goes through. And this would have not even been a topic of discussion if the governor did not sign into a law a bill that allowed RWA's charter to be revised to even bid on this bid. That's my problem with this. So for the governor to come out and somehow, like, tacitly or in an implied manner support what the attorney general is doing and trying to block this, we wouldn't even be in this position if you didn't sign a bill into law that allowed this to occur. I mean, take some level of responsibility for your actions here. And it's okay to say, look, I was wrong in retrospect, but my problem is the governor's not even doing that. He's basically, to your point, he's not even coming out saying he's against it.
No.
He's saying that he thinks the attorney general might find a loophole. Look, there's a lot of things that Attorney General Tom don't agree upon, but this is one thing I 100% agree with him on. This is going to crush the consumers, the water rate players in the western side of our state, which is generally your listening audience, is going to get crushed with water rate increases if this goes forward. And the fact that this governor, who says he cares about affordability, is sitting there on the sidelines and saying that he hopes, quote unquote, the attorney general's legal actions will warrant something that stops this deal. It tells you everything you need to know about somebody who wants to lead and help on affordability and someone who wants to stand on the sidelines and just see things go by. I find it to be completely unacceptable on his part, completely.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you confident that Aquarion, I guess it's a two-parter. Are you confident that the Aquarion deal will still go through? / are you confident at least that if it does go through, that at least there will be a body like PURA to provide oversight? Because that is something that we agreed on. Governor Lamont and I did agree that it is lunacy that something that people rely on, like water, you're just going to have the prices be adjusted whenever that happens in the next year, in the next 5 years, whatever. And there's not going to be an entity overseeing that. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Right.
No one logically would agree with that. So, I mean, what are the chances that at least that happens? And I guess what are the chances that this deal still goes through?
I think, frankly, the Attorney General brings up a good point in terms of his motion to reconsider on the part of PURA, because there was substantive information financially that was not disclosed to PURA. And I think that's the Attorney General's point. And I think it from a legal perspective, it certainly allows an entity to revisit its decision based upon what he's discovered here. So I am not confident that the deal is going to go forward, which I think is a good thing. I have some level of confidence that PURA is at least going to reconsider their decision. And I would hope that based upon the new information they've received regarding certain finances, they once again, like they did before, deny the action. So that is my hope. I also am relatively confident and hopeful that even if something does move forward at this point, that there will be some level of oversight over water rates. And I think that's imperative, because if that's not put in place, it allows a utility, in this case, carte blanche, to take advantage of a whole new customer base in the western side of the state and basically make them pay for RWA's purchase of Aquarion on the backs of them. When we're in one of the most unaffordable states in the country, to do something like that is completely unacceptable.
Yeah. Well, Senator Harding, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but I know the clock is ticking as far as the legislative session is concerned as well. So I'm most likely going to bother you again, for sure, before the session wraps up. Okay, good.
Never a bother.
I appreciate it, Senator Harding. Thank you so much, and we will definitely talk very soon. Thank you, thank you. Appreciate it. And as I mentioned, if you want to read more on that earmarking bill, you want to keep tabs on what's going on with Aquarion, all of that, I'm going to link it to Senator Harding's podcast on our website, voiceofct.com.